conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. The top story today, if you're just joining us, is the Final Four and the basically the worst-case scenario that could possibly have happened. San Diego State, FAU. One of those two is going to be in the final game. One of those two, San Diego State or FAU. And then it's going to be UConn and Miami in the other semifinal. Wow. We went through worst-case scenarios last week. And this is basically what we said. This was the worst-case scenario.
We didn't say it as something we thought would happen. We just said, what would be the worst? The only reason I cared about it primarily was because it's coming to Houston. Now, the tickets are still extraordinarily high. I looked at it just now on StubHub or whatever, because they don't have it at Simple Seats. And
they don't have it. It's a Houston event. They don't have
No, Simple Seats doesn't have it. And so I looked. You're still talking. Now, if you want to get into the second levels, if you want to get up high, you can get the tickets can go as low as $135 right now. $135 without the fees.
Probably face value.
Yeah, probably. Down on the, you went to the lower bowl for the two games, it's $1,300 a ticket.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are good seats. Those are good seats on the lower bowl.
Yeah.
But even end zone is $1,000 for per ticket for two games. So you get both games of the Final Four is how it works
just
out.
Just Saturday or not three games?
No. So here's how it works out of Final Fours. I've been to like three of them. How it works out is the schools, like Miami will buy tickets for the package. So you get the Final Four game against UConn, and then you get the national championship game.
Right.
And if you lose a national championship, I mean, if you lose your Final Four game in the middle of towards the end of the game, you're selling your tickets in the stands. People are walking up selling tickets to other people from the opposing fan base who wants to
go Monday.
You know, who wants to go Monday.
Right.
That's how you try to get rid of them while you're there.
Right, that's how that works. No, yeah, out in the concourse, there's all kinds of people going to be selling tickets, no question about that. But you can't sell when you buy the tickets, and especially when you buy them from NRG or from your school, you ain't just buying Saturday. You're buying Saturday and Monday.
Right.
But you get both games Saturday and you get Monday. Now, what I saw, what face value is $250 per session. It's two and a quarter per session in the lower bowl. In the end zone anyway. It was $450 each ticket. I was going to pay $1,800 for four tickets.
Oh, that sounds better
for
than
both sessions.
Well, it's better than what I just
saw.
Well,
sure, but that's not secondary market. That's buying it from NRG.
Oh, from NRG.
Those are face value.
You're right.
Those are face value. So I can't believe that you're going to get your money back on those. But I guess, you know what? The demand is good. Here's the problem.
Well, the national championship, if you want to go to a national championship game, you will be able to go to the stadium, buy tickets.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you're going to get in the building for a pretty reasonable price. If you really want to see a national championship
game. Very reasonable price. Because here's the deal. If it was Kentucky, Kansas, if it was Houston, if it was Texas, if it was, you know, really attract UCLA, Blue Bloods, attractive, it would be more attractive for, you know who would raise the price up? Houstonians. Houstonians right now are going, I ain't going to that. I ain't going to see FAU. I ain't going to see San Diego State. I don't know those teams. I don't care about those. I don't care about those programs. The local market here really is going to drive the price up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, thousands more people would come if Kentucky was in it. From Kentucky, from Kansas. Miami doesn't have the fan base.
No, if it were Houston or Texas, one of those two teams, and if Alabama had made it, along with UConn, and you know, frankly, it doesn't matter if it was, you're going to get San Diego State or FAU, so it is what it is. But it would have been, not if Alabama was in it. So if it was Alabama and Houston, Alabama and Texas.
Oh, my gosh, if Texas was in it or Houston was in it?
If it was Texas and Alabama, forget it, because they're on opposite sides. Forget about it. That thing would have been
packed. Oh, my gosh.
There's so many Longhorns.
Not only would it draw from those schools, but it would also draw interest from people who are nonchalant about it.
Well, yeah. And same thing for Houston, I think,
now,
locally.
Right now, the nonchalant people ain't going. Nobody. No. I have zero interest in going to see this. I went to Villanova. I was at Villanova, North Carolina, that game, which was fantastic, that the shot was hit in the final seconds. You'll remember when they won here, Villanova beat North Carolina here. Fantastic. I was also at that
Butler disaster.
That was awful.
It's worse than you remember it, by the way.
It was.
It's worse than you remember it. If you remember it, my son Mason looked at it. I said, Mason, look that up. He's like, oh, my gosh. I think Butler shot 17% for the game. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah. Well, isn't that how – by the way, did you see the under-over on the San Diego State-FAU game?
It's got to be low.
It's 131.
Yeah. Well, they were in the 130s yesterday.
Well, here's why. Do you see San Diego State, the three-point defense they play?
Yeah, and they block shots, too.
It's unbelievable. They are long, and they defend the perimeter.
Are we not going to talk about that terrible foul to end the game? FAU got a free throw? I mean, how do you...
Not FAU, but
San Diego State. How do you get to a point where you are calling that?
Well, here's the deal: is from the side when he was from the right side, the referee that raised his hand that was free throw extended or just back behind the free throw line, he was a side view, and it looked like the defender pushed him down while he was shooting. When you could see under the basket, he just had a hand on his waist. Basically, didn't touch him.
I still don't think you call that the last shot of the game.
Are you a guy that thinks you eat your whistle in the final seconds?
I am. Typically.
I'm a guy. If it's a foul, it's
got to be.
I don't care when.
I got to see it. It would have had to have been in the shooting arm.
But see, from the side, knocked him over.
But I'm not. Yeah, but he didn't. That's the whole point. You can't really get a good vantage point. So why are you calling something you can't get? That's not your call to make.
Right.
That's the whole point. That ref who can't see it shouldn't make that call.
Right.
That's the whole point. You can call what you can see. That should KJ, who's a ref, I'm sure we have refs listening. You can't call something when you have the blind angle on it.
Right. And that was definitely the blind angle, the guy who called that play. It was, hey, they had only shot 15 free throws before that foul. That's the combined.
Oh.
Those refs let them play. Those refs let them play the entire game.
Okay, so I was wrong on the Butler. I guess I was wrong. Let me see. No, this is another game where Butler couldn't shoot at all. Hold on, because they're 32% in that one. No, I'm looking for the national championship box score.
So, 131 is the over-under on San Diego State and FAU. We'll see whether or not FAU can get any three-pointers up, because San Diego State, their three-point defense has been fabulous and a big reason why they're advancing. And then it's Miami and UConn. That's 149.5, 150 points. That's 75 apiece in that game. 75 apiece, wow. That's a big number.
That is a big number. By the way, Butler shot 18.8% in the game. Okay. It's considered the worst game since the invention of television for a finals. It's not wrong. They shot 18.8%, 12 of 64, the worst ever in an NCAA final. They broke a record from awful Wisconsin-Washington State game noted above. They also shot – UConn shot 34% from the field, so they were terrible as well. Butler only scored 41 points. They scored a mind-numbing 13 points, 26 seconds in the second half, making only one field – no, I'm sorry. They went a mind-numbing 13 minutes and 26 seconds in the second half, making only one shot.
Wow.
Butler. And they said, what was the reason for that? It was because blame Ohio State, Kansas, Duke, Pitt, North Carolina, Florida, Notre Dame, San Diego State, Purdue, Kentucky, and Syracuse to name 12 accomplices. And they were looking at the teams that – should have won, that lost, or the teams who are higher seeds. Listen, I just hope I think we'll get competitive games. I think the games are going to be fine.
I hope so.
I do think from a television standpoint, they're not going to be as viewed. Is it going to be must-see TV? If you watch Final Four every year, yes, it's still must-see TV if Final Four is your thing. But not as many people are like that nowadays. And a lot of people wanted to see Alabama, Houston, Arizona, yeah. Purdue.
They no, wanted people to see, want the, to see the Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
I want to see teams that they know. People, I mean, players that they know.
And it's in
of
our
course,
city,
we wanted to see.
It bothers Houston. Me because it's in our city. I wanted to see a big event.
Yeah.
And it is a big event, but so where do we get in the national championship next year when the football national championship comes here? What are we going to get? Are we going to get, let's see.
We're going to get Memphis.
We'll get Louisville versus Michigan
Purdue.
State. Oh, what a game.
Purdue-Louisville
National. Yeah. And the two Cinderella stories here. I mean, at least in college football, you have to have, I mean, this is a concern with expanding playoffs is you get like, ooh, this is gross.
Yeah.
In college football, you're going to have the top four teams.
Yeah.
So you're not going to screw it up. Now when we expand college football playoffs, could be like, ooh, I don't want to expect this.
Absolutely. 813. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. We gave away those tickets. We've got another two-pack to give away for the Chevron Championship a little bit later in the show if you guys want to go. I'm telling you, it is good golf. It is really, really good golf. If you're a golf fan, and especially watching up close and in person, they can play. The ladies can play. It's going to be fun. We're going to be there, as a matter of fact, doing live shows out there at Carlton Woods. Beautiful facility. I think it's our best. It's one of, if it's not our best, it's 1A, that's for sure. It is just beautiful at Carlton Woods, and they do a heck of a job. And I was out there last week, and they're putting up all the stands, and it's going to be a huge event. Get there. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun event. So it's a major, too. So that'll be big. 713-780-3776. You're going to be able to bet on that as well. You know that, right? You can bet on that, and you can bet on it at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Right now, we got the Final Four coming here. You've got Major League Baseball starting up this weekend. You've got NHL. You've got playoffs, NBA and NHL playoffs coming up here real soon. You've got golf that you can bet on. It's really getting good. The Masters is coming up. All of these things that you want to bet on. Well, guess what? Here it is, and you've got yourself a chance to win and win big. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. If you put in your initial deposit is $2,000, you're going to get an extra $1,000 to play with. Because at MyBookie, they are going to match 50% of your initial deposit if it's your first time ever playing there. So if you're looking for a great way to get additional money to play, this is the only place that you're going to find that. Extra 50% right now at MyBookie. And they've got everything that you can possibly. Player props, too. So this weekend, you want to bet on whomever it is on any team. You want to bet on Pack or Wong or whomever it is for whatever team. You've got it at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. They've got wonderful player prop bets. But they've got all the bets that you could possibly want, and they've got that 50% bonus up to $2,000 at mybookie.ag. But you got to put in promo code BET975.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's get Gary in here. He wants to talk about the tournament. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, just want to say I have somewhat of a hot take. Got into a debate with my friends this weekend, but I don't actually consider the tournament like a playoff. Like, in my mind, just due to the randomness, and it's not just this year, 64 teams traveling all over the country, it's like a standalone postseason event, right? Like, I think it's great. I think it's awesome. But I don't really view it as like a playoff that you know, from the regular season. Like, I feel like college basketball is basically becoming a niche sport, like the regular season, while the tournament is like the second or third most popular sport in the country. In my mind, it's almost two separate events. And it's great. It's fine. But to me, it's a postseason tournament as opposed to a playoff incorporating the regular season. That's just how I look at it.
I mean, it is. It is. I mean, if it now you might feel different about it if it was home and away. If you had top seeds playing at home, you can't possibly do that with 64 teams. If you did it with 16, you could do it. But you wouldn't be able to fly. You wouldn't. The schedule would have to look much, much different and travel. It couldn't just be. I mean, I guess you could have a turnover of 2 days. It'd be a little bit of a pain. You don't do that often in college where you have games.
Well, you do it in the NIT. It's 32 teams. I mean, so why couldn't you? It's only one more. It's only one more game.
Yeah, I guess you could. But I, and you know, honestly, the ticket sales would be. It's not art. It's. They're at bigger venues a lot of times, but you're going to have, I mean, a lot of, it is amazing how easy it is to get into some of these venues at tournaments. You look around
Sweet
and you see.
Sweet 16 gets tougher.
Yeah.
The first rounds are easy. First rounds are easy to get in. It's a lot tougher in the Sweet 16, but then, and in the Final Four. But I disagree. You rank the teams according to their regular season. And then you play.
But it is a tournament.
It is a tournament, absolutely.
It's not a, so he's saying it's not a playoff.
Well, so is the NBA. It's a tournament. I mean, it basically you got 16 teams in
well,
it.
Well, but you, the difference is you do have home and away games and it's a series of games.
Yeah, right. Obviously. It's different, but it's still a tournament after the season's ends.
We're actually
20 teams in it.
We're gonna complain about this, but this is what can happen about the teams that are in there. If you want like tournaments, then you have to be okay with this. You can't complain about this. Can't complain about the matchups you get if you like tournament. This is what potentially happens is this is probably the first time it's ever really worked out to where legitimately teams who were not expected to be in the Final Four were there. Three of them for sure. And if you want to say UConn, you could say UConn as well. UConn was, a four seed? So, I mean, you know, it's not like a four seeds will make it. But they look like a dominant four seed. They look misseeded almost if you just looked at the way they played. But this is what happens when you have tournaments. You could have this stuff happen because there is some randomness. Maybe it's not random, but like Miami could get red hot in any given game and knock you out. That's one of the cool things about tournament. It's just that's why Cinderella's stories used to when you didn't have transfer portal and you had Well, I guess transfer portal will be the number one. And then you didn't have the COVID, the extra year of COVID, which has changed some things where a lot of players took advantage of it. You pretty much, the blue bloods you knew, one, maybe two, possibly three were going to be there. Now, it's like you just threw up. It's like you had a popper where all 64 teams were randomized and there was no waiting at all. And you just, okay, let's do the ping pong balls. Oh, San Diego State. Well, it was almost like random ping pong balls of teams.
Yep. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Let's give people another shot, RJ, at winning these tickets. Two tickets to the Chevron Championship. All the world's best LPGA players competing this year at the Nicholas Course at Carlton Woods as the first major of the year comes to Houston. It's going to be here for 5 years. Carlton Woods is a beautiful Nicholas Course, beautiful facility. Fazio and Nicholas, but it's going to be played at the Nicholas Course. 703-780-3776. You win two tickets to the Chevron Championship at this year's tournament. Tees off April 20th through the 23rd. For tickets and more information, visit Chevron Championship. That's the ChevronChampionship.com. ChevronChampionship.com. At exactly 8:30. At exactly 8:30, you call in at 713-780-3776, and caller number 4 is going to win those tickets. 713-780-3776 is the number. All right, that was obviously our biggest story of the weekend, was the Cougs losing, and just a shame. And here is we got some sound. Let's play some sound from the Cougs. Losing that game, the Cougs. Do we have any Kelvin Sampson? We don't have Kelvin Sampson. We do have Cougs. They had their pro day. The Cougs had their pro day here for the NFL teams. Clayton Tune threw. Derek Parrish was out there. They have a couple other guys. Who else is
Owens, the safety? He obviously Tank Dell, Owens. Nobody on the offensive line this year. Nobody on the defensive line.
Derek Parrish, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I think Derek Parrish is going to make a team.
You do?
Yeah, because even if he's undrafted, like, he's a hammerhead. He's really good on special teams. He, He's got an ability to play some fullback, which is where I know a lot of teams are looking at him. I think Derek Parrish can end up making.
Well, here is Derek Parrish.
Have you seen him? He's like rocked up. You've seen him? That
well, he's probably a fullback, H-back kind of guy. Right?
That's who, yeah. He's a DN, but he's a lot of teams are. He went to the East-West Shrine Game.
See whether or not he can catch the ball.
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. So here's Derek Parrish talking about why teams should draft him.
I think it's somebody who's willing to work, somebody who's willing to win, and somebody who's willing to claw for that inch. I don't think anybody's going to die by this game like I will. So,
I don't think anybody's going to die for this game like I will.
Sounds like a special teams guy.
Sounds like
running right down the field at full speed.
Sounds like that guy loves football.
Yeah.
Loves football.
Yeah. No, I gave him a draftable grade. I think because I watched his kickoff tape. He was running down just blasting people. Just bang, bang, bang. And, you know, because I'm like, well, how do I what am I supposed to look at for him to be a fullback? Like, he's a D-end.
Right.
So what do I look for a fullback? I wrote up some D-end stuff on him, too. But then I said, how do I find him a fullback? Oh, I know what. Let me go see a special teams tape. Let me see how tough he is in terms of collisions. I got my answer pretty quick.
He is that. Clayton Tune asked about playing for the Texans.
Yeah.
Here is Clayton Tune about his meeting.
So I'm going to Houston. I'm going to go visit the Texans facility. I'm going to go up in Dallas and do the same. Cleveland's going to fly me out. And then there's a couple more. I'm going to go to New Orleans, and I think there's some more that are going to get set up here soon.
With that being said, Nick Caserio was in attendance today. What would it mean to play for the hometown team?
It'd be awesome, you know, to be able to stay in Houston and, you know, play in front of my fans, be, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of U of H fans that are also Texans fans, so being able to play in front of the same crowd would be great, and, you know, super familiar with the city, so it'd be awesome.
That would be, I don't know how. I mean, here's the deal. They want to get a quarterback with the second pick. Wouldn't be the first time, and because it did happen. Kirk Cousins was actually better than Robert Griffin III. His pro career has been better. They were both drafted in the same draft.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not you would pick up, especially after you just picked up Case,
and you have Davis Mills.
I think there's very little chance.
It's a standard question. Would you like to play for the home team?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no chance.
I don't think there's much of a chance.
They're going to have three positions already filled. I mean, they have three quarterback positions filled, in my estimation. Where could Clayton Tune end up?
He's probably going to be fifth round.
Yeah, I think probably about that, yep.
Round in the fifth round.
And some people say fourth, maybe. I mean, there will be a run on quarterbacks. I think there could be as many as five in the first round if somebody trades up to get that fifth year on Hendon Hooker. And then you got Aiden O'Connell and Clayton Tune and Jake Haner. I think at the earliest one of those guys goes in the third round at the earliest. So, yeah, I think the earliest Clayton Tune could go is fourth round. And more than likely, to me, it'd be more like fifth.
Would be a good spot, maybe in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, he mentioned Cleveland. Who's the backup for Deshaun Watson? Stefanski's offense would be...
Well, it was Jacoby Brissett, but he's gone.
Right. Stefanski's offense would be a good offense for Clayton Tune. So he talked about going to Cleveland for a meeting. That'd be a good spot for
then
him.
That would be...
I mean, you're not going to be a starter.
No. He's going to walk
Case
in
and Keenum,
to...
Case Keenum started for a while and had some success. You just want to play...
He didn't start right away.
No. But you want to play as long as you possibly can in the league. The backup quarterback right now with the money they're giving backups is probably the best job you could possibly imagine.
Yep.
It really is. You're healthy. You get all the best, you know, amenities traveling as an NFL player. You get a big payday once you get to that second contract. Second contract backups, if you've got multi-year deals, You know, it's going to be $3 to $8 million.
Yeah.
For a backup gig. And I'm not even talking about one of the top end backups who can potentially be a starter. I mean, just a pure backup.
Absolutely.
If I would want my kids to be a backup quarterback,
I would too.
Trust me.
No, listen.
That's a great job.
Listen, I wish JT could have just been a backup quarterback in the league. Goodness gracious.
Case Keenum is just living the dream. Case Keenum, Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel, man?
Just socking it away like a squirrel with nuts.
Yeah.
And then he's on NFL Network now. You know, like, you know what? In the middle of my career, I'll just go on NFL Network for a while. I'll just do something in the offseason there. Like, is Chase retired? Nope.
No.
But you're still playing? Yep.
All right. We will hear from Jairus Walker. We didn't have, I forgot we had Jairus Walker sound, so we'll hear from him.
I guess that's it for Jairus Walker.
On the other side. Right now, though, that's no jab at Jairus Walker, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. But SiteJab's got a jab for you. SiteJab can help you with your website, and they can help you in a lot of different ways. Number one, if you have a website that's not very good, it doesn't make much sense not to build it up and have professionals who have been doing this for two decades, you know, take all that they know in terms of what is hot right now, what the analytics say about keeping people's eyes on your website. They go through this entire, you know, they go through the entire setup of what the fonts and the color schemes and the layouts, what keeps people on your site so that you can convert those eyes into business leads. And that's, you know, critical for a lot of people out there. How can your website show, how can it be best, you know, most functional to show exactly what it is that your work, what you do, and what you've done in the past? And SiteJab does that for you through professional video production. They can do brand management. They can build the site from the front end to the back end, ground floor up. It's very reasonably priced. But when you see the entire suite of products of what they offer, you realize that they are so good at helping to elevate your business and help make you more money because of all the different features they offer. Go to SiteJab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com, over two decades in the business, and they've been successful during that time. SiteJab.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you see Pat Beverly's act? Lakers and the Bulls, you saw it, RJ, didn't you? Yeah. How'd you feel about it?
I don't like that clown.
Pat is none. He's bitter. Okay, he made a basket.
Pat is a grudge holder.
Oh my goodness! He made a basket, and then he did this, but he did it way down by the floor.
Little,
you're little.
Yeah,
he did it to LeBron. You're little. and then he was running by Shannon Sharp, holding his nose. You stink. You stinky. Lakers are stinky.
Then he called everybody in the crowd MFers.
Pat Beverly, he is such a salty troll.
He is
one of the saltiest trolls that's ever been alive.
Love like, him.
As a matter of fact, I mean, Dylan Brooks right now is up there.
Oh, Dylan.
I don't know if I can think of a saltier troll whose sole intent is to piss off other people. Like, that's, you know, Bruce Bowen would do that. Bruce Bowen was dirty. He wasn't a salty troll.
No, he wasn't salty.
This is Pat Beverly came up in a time. Social media has been going on since Pat Beverly's been in the league, but it's really blossomed during that time. And I think Pat Beverly is the manifestation of what an internet troll is, come to life on the basketball court and says, oh, you're just a keyboard warrior. Come say it to my face. Oh, I would in real life. Pat Beverly is that guy in real life who will go to your place and try to hurt your knee.
You know who that is in golf?
Who?
Ian Poulter.
Is it Poulter?
It's Poulter, yeah. I mean, especially during the Ryder Cup, he's such an
a-hole.
Well,
so is DeChambeau was, right?
Well, DeChambeau doesn't necessarily do it at you like Poulter does.
Well, he did it to Brooks Koepka.
No, actually, well, Koepka actually did it to him. They dislike each other.
Saltiest,
but Poulter will just... is.
Who's the saltiest troll... So, another salty troll, and they feel like they got similar personalities, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
When Richard Sherman played, he had a lot of that Bev troll in him.
Oh, yeah. No, and Sauce Gardner wearing the Cheesehead hat after the game.
Yeah, that's a trolly move.
Yeah.
In baseball, I mean, Odor was just a...
No, A-hole. Josh Donaldson.
Oh, yeah, Donaldson. Yeah, but we've kind of forgotten, like... Donaldson was, but he kind of lost all of his mojo when he went to New York and they made him clean cut and he struck out all the
time.
Well,
he sucked. Yeah. He lost
Donaldson
a lot of
really
it.
Was.
Donaldson was it.
Oh, yeah. Donaldson was. And, you know, honestly, well, I can't say Bregman. It's not No, trolling is when you – no, it is more Donaldson.
It's Donaldson.
It's more Donaldson.
Yeah.
But Pat Beverly might be the saltiest troll that I've ever seen in a sport.
Well, Joe Kelly, too.
Yeah, but Joe thinks he's being douche. Like he's the – he thinks he's the Astros killer because he threw – because he hit somebody one time. But Pat Beverly has burned bridges with multiple fan bases.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Pat Beverly intentionally once – he took a camera on the court – to show an official that he missed the call. He took a whole camera. I've never even that's unheard of.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we could come up with football cornerbacks or wide receivers that are that level of trolls. But I think Richard Sherman and Pat Beverly, to me, yeah, Draymond's got some of it, but I just think Draymond is not a troll. I mean, Draymond, you could make the argument. I've never seen anybody worse than Pat Beverly.
Jalen Ramsey?
I mean, Jalen's got some for sure. Jalen's got some for sure.
Yeah, Jalen's good.
Job, but I mean, this is just salty, like, yeah, holds Brooks. Grudges. Dylan Brooks is up there.
Dylan Brooks is up there. All right, let's get some guys in here. Chris wants to talk about the NCAA tournament. What do you say, Chris?
Yeah, hey, good morning, John. Hey, listen, you know, if you're upset that your bracket got busted because of the tournament, well, I can understand why you wouldn't like this year's tournament. But if you're a basketball fan, I think it was one of the more entertaining tournaments to watch. You know, I mean, he doesn't like a good underdog story. And I think, I took a quick look at the rosters for the final four teams, and it's not rosters full of one and done. You know, these are older teams.
Right.
And so I think this year it's good to see these older teams, you know, players who may not have the skills to be a one and done, but they're stuck together, and you know they know they have better chemistry maybe than in years past. And for me, it's been really entertaining. I mean, that Creighton FAU game, I think it was, man, they're just going back and forth. I mean, all of the Elite Eight games were just slobber knockers for the most part. So I my bracket, yeah, it sucks for that, but the older teams and watching them and the chemistry, I think it's been good basketball.
That's all, and I don't disagree with any of that. I think the problem gets to, we're at a Final Four now, right? When we get to our college football Final Four, we're going to see Georgia, we're going to see the best teams. Unfortunately, and this is just the way it is when you go to, it just doesn't usually happen like this. Now, instead of getting Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State, Michigan, or whoever, TCU, whoever it's going to be, you might have a TCU sneak in. And that's one of the first times we've ever seen. I mean, actually, it's the first time we've ever seen a true Cinderella get into the Final Four in college football. If this were college football, this would be this is literally like college football having, it'd be TCU and maybe Florida, not even Florida. I don't even know how to, because there's mid majors. We don't really have a mid. We kind of had mid majors, University of Houston. You know, this is the Final Four of basketball, and there's no Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Clemson. There's nobody like that in your whole Final Four of basketball. That's the big difference. Is yeah, they deserve to be there. But when we get down to our Final Four of football, we want to see the best teams. And in basketball, I feel like we're not getting that. But they deserve to be there. They won their way there. It's just you can't look sideways at people about losing their interest in the Final Four when the very best teams aren't there.
RJ, do you have that call from the FAU game? I sent you the call. Not the interview, but the call from the FAU game. Right? You got that. Here's the call. FAU announcer had the apparently the power on the sideline where everybody was doing their broadcast went out.
Yeah.
And the FAU guy had to scramble. He got an Ethernet cord. He plugged it in. He's got the same Comrex that we do that we take out. He plugged it in, and then somebody was holding it. He was standing up. And here's his call at the end of the game as FAU wins and advances to Houston.
Recession for a second. Good as well. Kansas State doesn't have any timeouts. The inbound from Sills. Here comes Noel up the near side, left front court. 3 seconds now, two. Noel throws a Masood. High right. It's snipped away by Davis. They stole it. Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic is going to the Final Four. One of the most improbable stories. have a problem. Florida Atlantic is coming to town looking for a trophy.
You know what? You know what our problem is? That FAU is coming to Houston.
That's what he meant.
Houston. And he's going to ruin our tournament.
That was a weird thing to say. Houston, you have a problem. Well, I know. Final Four is all jacked up.
He was standing in the mirror before that morning going.
Working on that.
Yeah. Houston, you have a problem.
You've been an announcer, so you know how that works. Yeah. He's like.
You got a line. You
if
got
we
a, you
win,
got a,
he, yeah.
He had that in his arsenal. Right. It was in the. In the chamber, waiting.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they, Houston, you have a problem. FAU is coming to ruin your Final Four. Well, no, that's not what he said. But that's exactly what he meant by Houston, you have a problem. You're ruining our Final Four. Let's get Bobby in here. Let's talk. Roughnecks. We haven't even talked about it. We had a game. It's okay. Today's game day.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football. Okay. Roughnecks against the Defenders. 4-1 versus 5-0.
Roughnecks.
Roughnecks. Bobby, what about tonight's game?
Yeah, guys, April's low-key a pretty big sports month, and I think tonight is actually going to be the event of April. You're looking at a potential preview for the XFL championship game. Now, our Roughnecks are in a spot they've never been in before, coming off a loss for the first time in franchise history. They're down their best receiver, Deontay Burnett. I want to see what the OC's got in store for us. You know, the last game against Seattle, offense kind of let us down. Defense did their job, but the offense just couldn't put anything together. So how is Silver's going to bounce back knowing he's down a big weapon? Are we going to establish the run? DC, it's a strong team. We're going to see Houston Boyd, De'Aaron King on some design running plays. They've got Jordan Tamu, who was big time in 20. He's putting together another big time season. So, I think we're going to see a slobber knocker today, and again, it should be a preview of the XFL championship. I've got our Roughnecks rebounding. Let's call it 31-26.
Yeah. First of all, it's March still, so this is not April.
But I think he's comparing it to an April event, I think is what he's saying, because I didn't understand that either.
Yeah. This is March. End of March. It is. They got Abrams. He ran for 200-plus yards last week for D.C. D.C.'s 5-0. Jordan Tamu is – now, if it wasn't for P.J. Walker last 2 years ago, Jordan Tamu would have been the quarterback of the league, would have been the face of the league.
Bobby knows his XFL.
He does know his XFL. So they've got Abrams, who ran for over 200 yards. They're going to have to stop the run. But Tamu's playing good football.
You know, Abrams, it's weird. Abrams didn't get drafted. He went to Baylor, and he's like expected to be like a third-round pick, and he didn't get drafted. And I think there was some medical stuff there, which is why he fell out of the draft completely. But it didn't make sense because he's a big, talented runner, and he didn't get drafted.
He's showing it now.
Oh, no. I mean, there's no question. He was a zone runner at Baylor, and he's a big physical guy.
Excuse me, Abram Smith.
Yeah, Abram Smith. Abram Smith is a big, talented zone scheme runner, and I thought he was like a third-round pick, and then he didn't get drafted at all. And I think if I remember correctly, he had some medical stuff, which is why he didn't get drafted. But, yeah, this could be a second opportunity for him in the XFL. Wouldn't shock me at all if Abram Smith ends up on an NFL roster at some point this year.
Yeah, De'Aaron King is there. He's coming in. They're using him for packages. He's, you know, running a play. He's got a couple of runs, designed runs, and he's got a couple of pass attempts this season. So this is, you know, De'Aaron King has got to move outside to slot receiver if he wants to be in the league.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going. Stop sending Tony the Tiger and me with the Houston Roughnecks.
Roughnecks!
Okay, that's not Tony the Tiger. It's Roughnecks, okay? When we come back, we'll hear from Jairus Walker. Disappointed, to say the least. You, my friends, we just got a caller, guy that called in and was asking, are we going to give more Chevron championship tickets away, right? He was disappointed. Talk about disappointed. Dude wants to go, and I can't blame him. I'm going to go. I'm going to plan on being out. I'm a golf enthusiast. If you're a golf enthusiast, even if you're not a golf enthusiast, you want to talk about a beautiful facility at Carlton Woods, the Nicklaus course. It's beautiful. I was out there last week. They're building all of the different the suites and the tents and all of the stuff that they're putting up. It's going to be fantastic. It's a huge event, people, and it's right here in the city of Houston. It's going to happen April 20th through the 23rd, and tickets are available at thechevronchampionship.com. It's the first of at least five years here for the Chevron Championship. They've got a 5-year deal where they're committed to the Nicholas course, and Chevron is committed to doing great things for the city of Houston. Not only just the golf, but it's about, for Chevron, it's about showcasing valued partnerships, promote programs in STEM education, advance women's excellence. They're doing all kinds of community stuff. It's a big event. And so if you want to be out there, let's go. The Chevron Championship, ChevronChampionship.com, ChevronChampionship.com. It's the place to be April 20th through the 23rd. The ChevronChampionship.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That on the air? 713-780-3776 is the number. There's a lot of stuff we talk about that really we can't talk about on the air. But we can talk about Jairus Walker. Jairus Walker was one and done. Jairus Walker will forever be a Cougar. He loved his time here. He loved his time here. Here's Jairus Walker, as disappointed as you can possibly be about the Cougs losing to Miami.
I don't think I ever cried this much after a loss. Like, just knowing that it was my last. Like, we just got so close so quick. And, like, we didn't been through so much so fast. Like, it's... Like, when I call these people my brothers, like, I really mean that, like, each and every one of them. So, in terms of my basketball career, I'll never forget this one.
So you shed some tears?
Most definitely.
So grown men do cry?
I would say that. I call myself a man. I just cry my ass off.
That was courtesy of Mark Berman there at Channel 26. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Jairus Walker, fifth pick overall?
I don't know the class well enough to know for sure, but I think a lottery pick, yeah.
So
you see everybody on TV, they all make the same comments that we do. Boy, you see the body type. He just, you know, he has chances where he can take over. He may need to take over this game a little bit more. I mean, looks different. His athleticism, he's a shot blocker. He's explosive. He'll defend. He can shoot. You know, he's not a bad shooter. He's got a little of a mid-range game. You just wanted to see him take over a little bit more.
And I don't know that we saw it that much.
I'm not sure he has the personality of takeover.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, he did. Listen, Kelvin said he subjected his game for the good of the team. Team player. He'll do everything. Defend, block shots, rebound. He didn't care about the score. And if he didn't score any points and they won, he was fine with that.
All the things
I'm watching
coach
the
would
game
love.
With a guy who knows. Because, you know, he ran AAU team. Martin, we were watching the game together. And I was like, I just don't see top five overall pick. He goes, and then he knocked down a three, and he's like, that. It's the potential. And, you know, he's got that kind of potential, but we didn't see him dominate the way I would want to see it. Brandon Miller dominated at times.
Yeah.
Dominated.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And then other times, two games. University of Houston here, he had 0 points. And then in the first game of the NCAA tournament, he had 0 points, Brandon Miller. I mean, that's not a third overall pick. You don't have 0 points.
No, you don't have that. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, he's dealing with a groin injury, too.
Yeah.
So is Sasser.
Right. But
Brandon's going to be fine. Brandon's going to be a good player.
Brandon's going to be a really good player.
I'll tell you what, man. I have just been impressed with some of the players I've seen in March Madness. The big from UConn, that dude can go. He can ball. He's talented. You got the Omir, the ruffian from Miami, who can, although he didn't get as many rebounds as I expected him to yesterday.
Jordan Miller was fabulous yesterday, that kid. Holy cow.
Miami's got different people who will step up at different times. We've seen that. So, but they've... You look at San Diego State had some shot blockers. It's It's, of course, Noel watching Kansas State was fun. I wish Kansas State had made it. I really wish it was.
Yes.
Man, golly. I just wish it was Kansas State here and Houston or Texas here. That would have been a lot cooler. Thanks for ruining everything with your Miami Hurricanes, Dell.
Yeah. I mean, Dell ruins everything anyway. I mean, he just, that's what he does. 856 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Jarris is one and done. He said he's going to the NBA. So it was good. You know,
everyone
what?
In Houston it's knew neat. That. There was no
Listen,
secret.
Kelvin's going to get, is Kelvin have to, it's going to be different now. It's going to be different going to the Big 12. You still got Texas and Oklahoma in there for one more year. It's going to be a war every night. It ain't going to be, you ain't going to be able to take off. And Kelvin Sampson's got to reload now. With the portal, with the University of Houston being a, you know, the University of Houston right now is a blue blood in college basketball.
Ooh, University you don't go that high, blue blood?
Well, Tech, yeah.
It's I been, mean, they're an ascending program. I don't well, know blue blood is.
I mean, 80. You got history, too. It's not just like
you do,
they're,
but
they're a newcomer
40
here.
Years old.
Matt, so what? It was.
I can't go blue blood.
It's history.
Blood. I can't go blue blood on them.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely believe that.
Well, what have they done the last 30 years? You need to have something.
What has UCLA done? I mean,
UCLA has had, they've been more relevant than Houston
University
has
of Houston has made Houston's Final relatively, Four. They've got four straight Sweet 16s.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, yeah, that's great, but that's not blue bloody stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, and they've got history, too.
They
I mean,
got
Final
history,
Four
but
history.
It's when a lot of people weren't alive. Like blue bloods are, they are not just history, but it's a consistent run. Even though you'll have some ups and downs.
Kentucky, North Carolina, the last time Kentucky won a national championship.
Yeah, but when's the last? But how many Final Fours have they been in over the last 20 years?
I don't know. It's not that.
They're way more relevant to Houston, and I love Houston. They're ascending. That's what Houston is. But Houston is out in the finals. They were a one seed, and they're out in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, so was every one seed. I mean, at least it went out in the first round.
But, I mean, yeah, but I to be a blue blood now, you got to be, like, do you consider Gonzaga a blue blood? Well, they're more than Houston. They've been in a Sweet 16 for whatever it has
eight
been.
Eight straight
like,
years.
Yeah, it's been Mark. Oh, no, it's longer than that.
No, I think it's eight straight.
But, I mean, Gonzaga's been in Final Fours championship games here recently.
Yeah,
Houston's
no,
never been
a blue blood, yeah.
Well, Gonzaga is in the conversation because they've been a factor for if you've been a factor for two decades,
yeah.
Then you're in the Houston has not been a factor for two decades, and so to me,
no, but for the last decade, they
I mean,
have
UConn
been.
Became one. UConn became one,
yeah.
Over time,
and then they fell off, and now they're back.
But Houston
again.
Fell off right. For like 30 years.
Well, not 30, but yeah,
yeah. I mean, Houston wasn't early 90s was the last time they were a factor.
But the last decade, they've been a big factor. Yeah.
Last 6 years.
Yeah, okay.
Last 6 years. I don't think it's long enough, but I do think they're ascending. I mean, they're a team now that is in the Tier 1 conversation on a regular basis now. I mean, semantics
Would you
a little
consider
bit.
Texas a blue blood?
No.
No.
What have they done?
No.
No, they're a well-known program, but blue bloods are – that's a tight group. Like, a lot of people would say, no, Gonzaga's not a blue blood. Blue blood means they've got generations of basketball
well, but
legacy.
But see, that's where Houston has a much longer history than Gonzaga does.
Houston has to go all the way to that history, though, is the problem. But yeah, Gonzaga has a – I mean, since they came on the scene, and I think it was 98 or 99, with Richie Fromm and those guys, Dan Monson, right? Dan Monson yeah. was the head coach then. They have – you know, it's been a steady stream. And I think you – Duke was never a blue blood, not until Coach K got there, and 86 was the beginning of their run, really. And now you have to say, yeah, Duke's a blue blood team now, without question.
Oh, Duke is a blue blood. Yeah. North Carolina's a blue blood. Kentucky's a blue blood. Kansas a blue blood. I mean,
they all happen to be blue teams also.
Right.
And now San Diego State looks kind of blue bloody.
Not blue bloody at all.
Florida Atlantic.
No, but I mean, this program is a preeminent. I mean, I hate to take the word. I mean, I know you've got.
I don't know that they're preeminent.
You have a patent.
Look, you got to be getting to the Elite Eight and Final Four on a regular basis. That's just not Houston right now. They're in the discussion, And they're, as long as Kelvin Sampson's there, they're going to be a factor. I do worry about, like with these other programs, whoever the head coach at Kansas is, or like I think one of the things you have to have is a coach who stays there a long time. We're 9 seasons in with Kelvin Sampson. They're headed in the right direction for sure. And if his son takes over and does the same thing with it, yeah, then in 10 years we could be having, to me, a different conversation. But you look at all the quote-unquote blue bloods. Man, look how long their coaches were there and the sustained success. And that's why college. Have you ever noticed college basketball coaches don't get plucked as easily? I mean, they do in the lesser. But Juwan Howard's not going anywhere, and yet Jim Harbaugh could. Well, you know what I mean?
The Fairleigh Dickinson coach. Well, he went to Iona.
That was incredible. His run. Let's see. Last year he was in a Division II school. Then this year he was with.
He didn't even win his conference or his conference tournament. The only reason that they got in is because the team that won it isn't eligible for the tournament.
You see how quick he's jumped, though? Last year he was on a Division team too. He got hired by Fairleigh Dickinson this year. He was 1 year at Fairleigh Dickinson. Now he's at Iona.
Yeah.
Like in 2 years he's right. And Iona is considered one of those kind of stepping stone programs.
901 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about the Morley Law Firm. Make a call, Morley Law. I don't know what issue that you have, but there are issues out there. And whatever your issue is, criminally or civilly, then you need the Morley Law Firm. Whatever it is that you got. And listen, as a matter of fact, I recommended somebody to the Morley Law Firm, and they called immediately. They wanted to find out what the problem was, an issue that this person had, and they are looking into it. And listen, they don't take it in a lot of instances. If you have a civil suit, they will not take any money until you win, okay? So that is awesome, awesome, awesome that it's not going to come out of pocket. They're going to work every angle for you not to pay until you win your case. So it doesn't. There's no out-of-pocket money. That happens a lot civilly. Now, criminally, if you've done something, then you need representation. You have to have the representation, people. You do not want the police, the DA. They all have all of this expertise. You don't want to walk in there and screw it up and get yourself into deeper trouble, even if you didn't do it. You need, no matter what, you need a lawyer. If you're being charged or you're being investigated, make the call Morley Law. 713-839-9955. Se habla español can help you with your immigration problems as well. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.